What if you could immerse yourself in a world of overflowing beauty? A world in which you could explore ease with consciousness and the lightness of change? If ordinary isn't enough for you and remarkable is just the beginning, join us to discover a universe that is truly magical. This is Creme de la Creme, presented by facilitators of Access Consciousness. Is now the time for something different? Here are the hosts of Creme de la Creme.
Hello, everybody, and welcome. This is Anne. My name is Anne Maxwell, and I'm here on Creme de la Creme radio show with my colleagues, Marilyn Bradford. Hi, Marilyn.
Hi, Anne. So happy to be here.
Yeah, me too. And Tamara Yonker.
Hi, Anne.
Hey, Tamara. And Jonas Svensson.
Yes!
Woohoo! From Sweden. So this is really awesome. I'm so excited. And the topic for the show today is around choice. So I'm just going to read a little bit of what we wrote. So every choice you make creates something. So is that true for you guys, right? So what if every choice you make creates something? And our question to you is, do you worry about making like the right choices and the not wrong choice? And if so, don't you end up pretty much judging yourself nonstop? So Gary Douglas, the founder of Access Consciousness, says a big choice would be something that changes reality or changes a life. So our question is, what kinds of choices are you making? What choices are you making? So personally, this has been a year where I moved beyond little choices and into much bigger choices, and my life is very different, not right, not wrong, but it really is true. I was just listening to a call that Gary had done a little while ago, and the example that he gave was, for example, like falling in love. Falling in love is a little choice, and then getting married is a big choice. And from my perspective, getting divorced is also a big choice. But a big choice is big because it involves all the people in your life and in the case of either marriage or divorce and in their lives, and it's not just you and not just him. And little choices tend to be the choices that don't really seem to affect others that much. Big choices are the things that affect the whole world. So one of the things that you have, it's almost like you have to look at what you're choosing from. And one of the things that Gary has said that is so true that is that the choices that you make today create your future, right? So the choices that I made 4 years ago when I first ran across Access Consciousness 4.5 years ago actually created my future today. And I don't know that I had the awareness that that was actually what I was doing, but so talk to you guys. What is this topic? Where are you with this, with choice, with big choices and little choices?
For me, this whole thing around choice, I mean, you have been, I at least have been brought up, and I know most of the people that I meet and facilitate and run into in my life in general, they have this energy around choice that it's almost like we don't have a choice. And
right.
And so for the last 5 years, I've been on this journey of exploring choice, and I have definitely chosen to do everything within that range of what choice is. And it's not actually, to be honest, maybe the last 2 years where I really, really got to the energy of like, okay, so it is all the choices that is creating my life. And now I can see it so clearly. Like, whenever I'm stuck in something, I'll just choose something, and then that creates something, and then it normally opens up to something different that I didn't see before. But what I want to say with this, when it comes to the big choices and the small choices, because it's also, please, people, do not conclude that just because we gave the energy of, or the example of marriage and just falling in love, like, the word big doesn't mean that it necessarily is bigger, but it's more like the energy of like a big choice will change more and basically create different realities for a lot of people most often, you know?
Right,
so
it becomes right.
Yeah, exactly. So so it can be a really small choice, you know, a really, really small choice that is, it feels like a small choice, but it is a big choice, you know?
It's, right, exactly. Exactly.
But it's more about not concluding what is what. But I think one of my biggest awareness around the big choices is this energy of, like, it's all these, a lot of times it's these things that we basically resist in situations where we resist to make a choice because we're looking at all the consequences and we're already in the future and trying to figure out all the consequences and all the things that will be great about that, and then we're trying to control that. So then we go to judgment and wrongness instead, and we don't know anymore, and we're in a million different people's universes, and therefore we cannot make the choice anymore because now everything is just confusing.
Right.
See? That was even confusing to say.
Well, and a lot of choice doesn't choice also really have to do with a point of view. I mean, a point of view is really a choice. I like this, I don't like this. I like you, I don't like you. That's a choice.
Exactly.
Too,
yeah.
Right? And right, exactly. And those are the little choices that we make on a constant state that creates so much.
And I think that's a really cool example too, because having the point of view or deciding that you don't like someone, you know, that can be a big choice.
Right. Right, exactly.
Because that can literally fuck up your whole life and your future possibilities just because you think it's so valuable to have that point of view.
Yeah. So, and then for what reason do we choose, right? So choice is actually, Gary's talked about choice being the creator. So choice creates awareness, but one of the things that I'd love to talk about is when you choose something, you get to tap into the energy of whatever it is that choice is going to create for you, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I choose to go to Venice, or I choose to not go to Venice. I choose to walk in the snow. I choose to stay inside. I get to tap into the energy of what is being created by making that choice. So choice really does create awareness. So why choose?
It does.
Right?
Can, but not necessarily. I mean, go backwards a little bit with this. You were talking about, you know, before you got to Access. Well, for me, the choice to come to Access seemed like a small choice, but it was huge because it opened so much up. But I think, I mean, choice creates awareness if we're willing to be aware. I know that before I got to Access, and I see it with my clients early on at times, and I see it with a lot of other people who haven't done this kind of work, is that they don't have a sense that they're choosing. They just have a sense, well, this happened to me.
Right.
You know, this person hates me, or this happened to me, and there's no sense of awareness because that concept that they chose isn't there in the first place. So it's almost like you have to cultivate, at least I did, and this has been actually helpful for me, and I still do it, cultivate, okay, I actually made a choice to do this, to go out today, to be unaware even, which is how I got sideswiped, or to go to an Access class. Wow, that changed a lot. It's like a muscle to be developed of I am choosing, and we're choosing in every nanosecond. And what will this choice create? And sometimes, I know in the beginning, I had to sort of look backwards at it. I actually did choose that. Okay, never mind. I did choose to drive my car when I knew it had a red light on. Or, oh, yeah, it'll be all right. What happened? You know, and then this and this and this. And this.
Right.
For a lot of people, I think it's helpful to get the idea that you actually are choosing all the time and you're creating what shows up. And sometimes you're creating it from being unaware.
Exactly.
I love that what you said about, like, we choose in, like, every nanosecond we choose something. And I think I've seen a number or something, you know. We we think 96,000 thoughts per day or something, and 95,000 of them is the same as yesterday or something like that. It's not about the numbers, but I think the point is that all those thoughts, it's actually choices, all of them.
Right. Yeah. So do you guys have experience with I want to get away from the judgment of big versus small and into the awareness of what they create. I'm not talking about them from a judgmental point of view. Oh, a big choice is better than a small choice. It's almost like, do you guys have experience choosing small when you could have chosen bigger or the other way around, like choosing huge and not choosing the small, right?
Some of the ways
that
I like...
So good.
Sorry. You go, Tamara.
Well, because, you know, this brings up a lot of questions from a lot of people. I field questions from, you know, people.
Boy, no kidding.
Right? Right? And one of the ways I like to think about it or explain it to people in the simplest form that I can is that, because I'm always asking the question, what's going to create the most for all? And so, to me, a small choice maybe affects, or impacts, rather, probably a better word than affects, maybe just me, or maybe a small, you know, me and maybe somebody else, versus a big choice is going to impact, like, you know, consciousness itself, or, you know what I mean? So it's like, if I'm looking at a choice and what it's going to create, then it's going to impact potentially a lot, and maybe it's not even just people, I'm not, you know, but it will create a large impact or a great impact. That to me is a big choice versus a small choice that maybe only affects just me. I'm the only person that's even going to know that I chose it. You see what I'm saying?
Cool. Yeah, I do.
Totally
and then on the level, like the choice to either to stay married or to move on, the choice to stay married for me would have been a small choice. It would have simply been maintaining what was, which wasn't creative, it wasn't generative for either one of us, but the choice to move on was a big choice. So sometimes the small choices are also about like maintaining or not causing waves, you know, like kids in school, they don't want to raise their hand or they don't want to say what they actually do know because they don't want people to get upset or laugh at them or whatever. Those are like the small choices. The big choices are a lot of times the acting out ones, right? Get up and
say
it like this, right?
Yeah. Creating judgment in someone's world is probably a big choice, right?
There you go.
Hey, so what I just realized from your whole conversation
can diminish
that you just had.
Absolutely. Marilyn, say that again.
That the small choices from the examples being given, small choices can be just things like, well, I'm going to have, you know, salami instead of ham for lunch. But they can also be things, like from what you were talking about, Anne, of staying in a marriage that's not working, that actually, or the kid who doesn't speak up, that actually diminish us.
Yeah.
Yes.
Prevent us from showing how we talk.
Yeah.
So that's,
yes, awesome.
You know, that's
cool.
Be aware of.
Jones, what were you saying? What were you going
to? Yeah, no, so what I wanted to say was, you know, the last couple of things we have said around the big choices and the small choices, and you were in tapping into a little bit about how they're creating awareness and what's stopping us from making the choices. And I wonder how much we're actually stopping us from making the choices based that we are not clear if it's a big choice or a small choice. So we basically misapply small choices as big choices and big choices as small choices.
Yeah,
exactly.
And
if you do, you will never get the awareness that you actually require to make that choice. Which means, that's why we make the example of getting married is a big choice. It's a big choice because it affects others. But if you function from that's just a small choice, it doesn't matter. Then you don't allow yourself to have the awareness of everybody its real effect.
Awesome, John.
And if you have a big choice, or if you have a small thing, like if you're gonna drink a Coke or not, and then you make that a big choice because there's kids in Africa that cannot have the Coke, and the aluminium is not good for the planet, and blah blah blah, and then suddenly having a Coke or not is suddenly a big choice when it's actually a small choice. You know what I mean?
Right.
It
wasn't
the best example ever, but But it's all this confusion where we make them something else than that they than what they are.
So how about if we run a clearing on that? So
yeah.
So everywhere you've defined big choices as little choices and little choices as big choices, will you just run and create that?
Yeah.
Right. Wrong. Good. Bad. All mine. Bye-bye. Shorts. Boys of the Eyes. Like, okay.
Here's another. What have you made so vital about giving your choices meaning that it actually cuts off your awareness of what they're creating?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Everything that is, destroy and uncreate it times a godzillion.
That's
I'm going to write
beautiful. Because how many times do you make big choices so meaningful so you can never see what's actually going on? And how often are we making small choices significant so we cannot make choice anyway, you know?
Right.
Oh, that's great, Marilyn.
Very cool.
Cool.
Very, very cool. So, So choice. There's so much to talk about, and one of the things I want to make sure that we touch on a little more is how the choices that we make. What if the choices that you make today are actually creating your future? And it's one of the things that I say to the kids who come into my office, no matter how well, I oftentimes say it to a lot younger kids than maybe most people might, but and it's almost like they can get it. Like the choice to not do their homework is going to create an outburst either at home or with their teacher. And I have no point of view about what their choice is, but what if we could have no point of view about the choices that we make? I mean, I just remember Simone Melissus, the Worldwide Coordinator of Access, saying to me one time, "It's just a choice, Anne. It's just a choice." And it's like, oh wow. And so everything that it's almost like moving beyond the space of having our choices be so significant that they're like earth shattering or life stopping, and into the space that they're just it's just a choice.
Yeah, and the part of that it's just a choice. Do not misapply that as it's just a small choice. Like because both big choices and small choices they're just choices. We don't need to make any of them significant. We just need to be aware of what a big choice creates and what a small choice creates.
Right, right. Cool. So how do you guys, what's your experience knowing what the choice is going to create? Like, do you guys have any examples of that?
Well, you can ask that question. If I choose this, what will my life be like in 5 years? If I choose something else, what will my life be like in 5 years? I use that all the time. And it actually is a great way of weeding out, in a way, whether a choice is going to create much as a bigger choice or not much. I mean, I've even used it with, if I get off the couch right now, what will my life be like in 5 years?
You're so cute.
Hey, time to get your butt in gear, Marilyn. And sometimes it's not. So, and
right.
That's the other thing. It's like getting off the couch one day may be a big choice and another day a small choice. It's much more being in the moment and knowing that everything changes all the time.
Yeah. So, big choice, small choice. We're going to take a quick break now, and when we come back, we're going to talk lots more about this. It's such a huge topic. I'm so excited. So thank you, guys. We'll be back in just a minute.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
Want to know what the best-kept secret in Access Consciousness is? It's the Access Gold Club. Demanding more change and the latest and greatest, but can't always get to all the classes you desire? Let Gary and Dane come to you. Join the Gold Club, and each month you'll receive a 60-minute live call, a weekly email on the month's theme containing the latest clearings in written form, and an MP3 loop. Twice a month, receive a brand new video with Gary and Dane, How does it get any better than this? In addition to receiving a CD format of the monthly call mailed to you, you'll also enjoy a surprise bonus gift. Be in on the secret. Join today at www.isnowthetime.com/special-tips.
Hey everybody, this is Dr. Dane here, and I would like to invite you to an adventure in being. I've just written and finished a new book known as Being You, Changing the World. Are you one of those dreamers? One of those people who's always known that other possibilities should be available but haven't yet been able to see them be created? Well, I wrote this book for you. In it, you'll find tools, processes, and unique perspectives to change the things you've always wanted to change but didn't know how. In it, you'll find an invitation to a different possibility for a way that we can be in this world that changes not only our lives, but by being us, allows us to contribute to changing everything planet-wide that doesn't work. Are you aware that truly great people, truly being them, is the only thing that has ever created a great change on this planet? Are you willing to step up? Are you willing to be one? Check out a copy of my new book, Being You, Changing the World. I invite you to go to beingyoubook.com for a free gift.
You are listening to Creme de la Creme, presented by Access Consciousness. Join us on the program today via phone or email. Call us toll-free in North America at 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. Or send an email to pam@accessconsciousness.com. She'll make sure we get the message. Now, back to Creme de la Creme.
Hello, everybody. We're back. This is Anne Maxwell, and I'm here with Jonas Svensson and Tamara Yonker and Marilyn Bradford today. And Leeson apparently is on her way, and this may actually be Leeson right now. Who knows? So we would love to have callers today as well, and the phone number to call is 1-888-346-9141. If you have any questions you'd like to ask, that would be wonderful. So
here's a caller.
Huh?
Hi, here's a caller. Susanna here.
This is a caller. We've got Susanna on the phone. Yay! Welcome, Susanna. So we've been talking about choice, and where we left off right before the break was talking about choice creates awareness. And Jonas, you had some things that you were talking about. Do you want to...
Oh, yeah, we were talking about so much in the break, so I don't even remember anymore what it was, but it was probably brilliant.
It was very brilliant. Okay, so how about if we ask some questions around choice? So does choice last forever? Like the significance of a choice is like, oh my God, this is a choice, and how many of us were told as children, you're going to have to live with this for the rest of your life, right? So what if that's actually not true, right? How long does a choice last, you guys?
For me,
it just lasted 20 minutes. It's just so weird. I had this weirdest time before this call because I'm just in London, and I was scheduled to be on an Irish radio show just before this. And I was talking to the lady, and in the middle of it, it just broke. I was thrown out. And it was so weird. And I knew, like, I was like, I was getting so frustrated. And I knew, okay, I do have a choice for something else. So, it's just, okay. So I changed my point of view, and I got happy again. I called it, and everything worked out, you know. So I had two more minutes left. Afterwards, I noticed I was getting like, oh, why didn't this work out the way I want it? So I was getting frustrated again. And so I'm like, what if I don't resist getting frustrated now and I just go for it? So I went and railed for 20 minutes around it, which is very long for me. This is how long that choice lasted. And I'm like, you know what? I'm bored. I'm done with it.
Right. You and me both, honey. Yeah. Was this like an hour ago? I threw a tantrum that was like, like a full throttle tantrum, but mine didn't last 20 minutes. Mine lasted probably 7. And then I was done. Like, okay,
right? And then I changed my point of view, and the internet started to work again. That was interesting.
Huh. Yeah, isn't that funny?
I would really like to add this to to our conversation about choice and how we make them significant. That's actually how we're making them significant when we think that our choice will be a lifelong lasting choice that we can never ever choose something else again. And you know what? That's actually when we have taken the choice and made it into a decision.
A decision. A judgment, a conclusion, right?
And it's so different
to go on autopilot.
Yeah.
You know, because you make a choice and you go, okay, I got that settled. And then you go on autopilot and refuse to be present. I mean, you actually have to be present to choose consciously. You're making choices all the time, whether you're present or not, whether you're conscious or being in awareness or whether you're just going on autopilot. But if you make a choice that's going to put you onto autopilot, oh, yeah, I'm going to be a doctor, or I'm going to go work at this place for the rest of my life, then it's like you actually lose the capacity to choose. You think it's a truth. And I've seen so many people misidentify and misapply a choice as a truth or the way things are that they're, like, shocked when you show them the idea that they could actually make a different choice.
Yeah, because you miss what else is possible. You miss, like, what other information out there. When I was frustrated about not getting into the radio show, I lost my awareness that I could call in a different way, you know?
Right.
So when
right.
I got over being frustrated, I had the awareness, oh, I can use the landlines, you know, instead
right.
of the internet.
Right.
So
right.
like you miss information when you make a choice and a conclusion.
So choice creates awareness, and awareness allows you to be present in a way that you can't be if you're mired down with judgments and conclusions and decisions and all that kind of stuff. So one of my favorite exercises that Dane ever gave us was in Access Consciousness, there is a principle, if you will, that a choice is just good for 10 seconds. It just lasts for 10 seconds. And at the end of 10 seconds, you have to re-up again. So you do so whether you're aware of it or not, whether you do it consciously or whether you're on automatic pilot. So what if a choice really doesn't last much more than 10 seconds and sometimes even less than that? So Dane's exercise is for 3 minutes, choose in 10-second increments. So that for 3 minutes, it gives you 18 choices. And I got to tell you, every time I do that, it gets me out of my head and into my life in a way where I am so present in all of that, all of the judgments, all of the noise, all of the squirrel, the monkey mind, like all of that is completely gone. And it's really fun. It's like, okay, so sometimes I do it in the shower. Sometimes I do it when I'm walking the dogs. Sometimes I do it when I'm just walking around the house sort of picking up, like doing stuff like that. Sometimes I do it when I'm writing. But for 3 minutes, choose every 10 seconds.
Cool.
Yeah. So, and then you get to choose again if you're doing something that is working for you, or to not choose it. But it really does bring you present. And what we've been talking about is about the automatic pilot systems where you just choose by rote, or that it's almost like you mimic whatever it is that's going on, or whatever it's in your family or all the people around you or whatever, where you're not aware. And yeah, like Marilyn, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just thinking about how the schooling system is in Sweden, for example, and I know at least in a lot of Europe, and it's probably in similar energy in the States as well. But it's, you know, when you have done the first year of school, and then you have this possibility to choose what you now want to learn more about and what kind of subjects or whatever it's called, different things you want to read, whatever you call
it. Right, right.
And then the significance around that and how you're suddenly...
What your major is going to be?
Exactly. And and suddenly your family and everybody that is smarter than you should have an opinion of what's the right major for you, like that energy.
Right.
And so we're also taught that we're supposed to make all these life-changing, never able to choose and change again decisions all the time.
Right.
It's like marriage.
It's like you're going to make one choice to end all choices, and that's actually a destructive thing. Like, people think they want that, but they don't realize what they actually want is what you guys were just talking about, where this has lightened up my world so much when I first got into Access, and I realized that every choice I make actually inspires in 10 seconds, and I get to choose again. Like, that is so powerful, realizing that I don't have to be stuck in a decision. I get to choose again. Like, woohoo!
you mean choice is a luxury?
Exactly!
Yeah,
and we're given this reality so much emphasis on being consistent, so that if you do choose again, well, yeah, I'd like this job. You know what, after 6 weeks, I don't think so. I think I'll do something different. There's a lot of judgment about, well, you're just flighty. You're not. There isn't a lot of support from this society or this reality for people changing or making different choices. Mm-hmm. Because you make a lot of choices, you're totally uncontrollable. Well, we were counting on you. You know, well, you should have asked me, but so I think that's something worth noting, that you may get a lot of resistance if you begin choosing for you and you change your choices 2 or 3 or 5 days later or 6 months later or whatever. Oh, well, you know, and I'm not saying don't be aware of what your choice is going to create, and please do be aware that there's a lot of energy against people choosing.
And I love
how
you just said,
inspire
Marilyn,
many other people. Go ahead.
Go. You're uncontrollable when you're choosing all the time. I just taught a bars class over the weekend, and one of the students brought up the idea of she was judging herself because she couldn't find a way to be committed. And I said, so I asked a question. I was like, well, is this a commitment to yourself, or is somebody else asking you to be committed? Because this idea of abandoning our choice to a decision or an agreement or a commitment or a contract or something like that often is a way that other people try and control us, rather than allowing us to be in that, you know, 10-second increments of choice. And I know that, you know, the only commitment I'm going to make is to myself and to the potency of my own choice and things like that. So, you know, there's something to think about if you're judging yourself or not being able to, quote-unquote, stick to your commitments. Who's asking you to make that commitment? Because if it's coming from you, then perhaps you've abandoned your choice to a decision or a commitment, as opposed to recognizing that you're no longer resonant with a choice that you made in the past, and it's time to actually choose something different.
Yeah, absolutely.
By a lot of people also, when you allow yourself to choose again and again.
So will you guys talk about choosing for yourself? Marilyn mentioned that, and I got, there's this energy that came up around that where that runs so contrary to what we're brought up with, which is when you choose for you, you're being egocentric or egotistical or narcissistic or selfish or whatever. How about if we talk a little bit about what that is when you choose for you?
Hey, is there a difference between choosing for you and choosing as you?
Hey, Ricky. Go for it. Is there?
Well, I mean, when I heard you say that, that's what I was kind of, that's what I popped into my head is there a difference? And I think what you guys have just been talking about is when people first get the awareness that they can choose, that they kind of realize, you know, all the places that they've only been willing to choose for other people. And they get a sense that they have different choices available. It's like with kids, you know, when you take an Access class and you want to get home and, you know, use the tools with your kids, and the kid wants to choose to eat candy, you know, then you're like, okay, so I choose you. And the kids go to the same place we go, and choosing for them means that they choose all the things that they think they'd really like to have.
Right.
And so they, usually will go go crazy. You need too much candy. Or people take access passes and they get that they have different choices available, and then they just choose for them, which a lot of the times in the beginning is kind of choosing against all the people that have tried to take away their choice. And
right.
It's not always exactly the same thing. And
so talk about choosing as you. How do you do that? What's that? What does that look like?
So that's a great question. So for me, choosing as me, once I got to choosing as me, then I was like, I kind of had a big question mark. Like, what is that? And so I started to be curious about what I would like to choose. And if I were choosing as me, I started to get curious of, okay, so who am I? And I started asking questions like, okay, so, you know, what is it that I'm capable of that I haven't been willing to be? Or what else is possible? Or what else can I choose that I haven't, you know, even considered I could choose? And that really opens the space to where this idea of choosing as me starts to make a little bit more sense.
Cool. And you talked about curiosity, and there's also the sense of wonderment. One of the things that I remember, one of the quotes that I read from about Gary, or that Gary said about comfort, is the purpose of comfort is to avoid awareness. And Ricky, what you're describing by choosing as you, it's an unfamiliar place, right, where you don't have pat answers and where you function from being a question. Right? And not,
yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, what I've realized about choice is most people are only willing to choose to align and agree or to resist and react.
Like, right.
That's all that most people are willing to choose. And most of us, you know, people that tend to be a little bit different, most of what we're willing to choose is to react to all the things we've been told we can't choose. And so...
Right.
For me, I started to look at, okay, instead of reacting to what I can't choose, instead of looking for what I can't choose, instead of caring about what I can't choose, what if what was valuable to me is what I could choose? And then I started to, like, be aware of all the choices I could make. And I realized, wow, there's a whole bunch of them. And some of them sound like fun, and some of them don't sound like that much fun. What would I like to choose that would actually expand my life? And that's closer
awesome.
To the energy of choosing as you.
It's not about resisting and reacting or aligning and agreeing. And it makes me think of this story. There's a family who comes to Access a lot, and the daughter, after they got back from one of the classes, the daughter came and said, "I want ice cream." And the mom said, "Okay, why don't you ask your body?" And the daughter went into the kitchen, and the mom waited in the living room, and after about 30 seconds, she heard, "Darn."
Right.
So, you know, she'd been really willing, I think, to choose as her, or to at least ask questions as her, that led to a choice that was not in aligning and agreeing or resisting and reacting. And that's just stayed with me so much, that a kid would do that. If we could teach our kids, if we could be there ourselves all the time, I mean, that's just awesome, that idea of choosing as you and not in resistance and reaction or aligning and agreeing. Because that's not really choice.
Right. Right, right, right. So back to this idea of, or back to this thing about comfort and not comfort. So when you... Because we have all functioned the way Ricky's talking about, like choosing as us as opposed to choosing for us or against others or against us or whatever. So what are your experiences with that? Like, what is that? And maybe what we should do is take a break right now, because we're about to wrap up this portion of the show, and maybe we can start with that question when we get back. So we'll be back in just a couple minutes, you guys.
Change your world. Change your life. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
What would you say if I told you that you could change your life in only 1 hour and all while lying down relaxing? Thousands of people all over the world have. What am I talking about? It's called Access Consciousness The Bars. The Bars is an energetic body process that contains 32 different points on your head that, when run, assist you in releasing decisions about any area of your life that you have made solid and, as a result, cannot change. The Bars is the first class in Access Consciousness, a dynamic set of tools and information designed to transform any area of your life. When you have a bar session, the worst that can happen is you feel like you had a fantastic massage. The best thing that can happen is your whole life could change. Go to accessconsciousness.com today to find a facilitator, to schedule a private session, or to find a bars class in your area. Are you willing to give yourself an hour to change your life?
When you're pondering the big questions like, is there more than this? How can I have a happy relationship? What would it take to like my body? And how do I make more money? Where do you go for information and tools? Check out the online store at accessconsciousness.com. Accessconsciousness.com has books, DVDs, instant video and audio downloads, online classes, and so much more. Subjects include abuse, changing your body, recovery, raising children, business techniques, tools to generate more money, how to have better sex and healthier relationships, just to name a few. At accessconsciousness.com, you can also find facilitators who teach local classes on a variety of subjects. Accessconsciousness.com, your one-stop shop for tools to assist you in changing your life. All of life comes to us with ease, joy, and glory. Go to accessconsciousness.com to learn more.
You are listening to Creme de la Creme, presented by Access Consciousness. Join us on the program today via phone or email. Call us toll-free in North America at 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. Or send an email to Pam at accessconsciousness.com. She'll make sure we get the message. Now, back to Creme de la Creme.
Well, everybody, we're back again, and all of us are on except for Leeson, who has a bad internet connection. We travel around the world, and Leeson just landed, and she's in Sweden, and so maybe she'll be able to come on. But Ricky, Jonas, Marilyn, Tamara, Susanna, and I are all on, and we are on this awesome topic of choice. And where we left off was talking about choosing as you as opposed to for you. And one of what I was wondering about was if you guys could give a personal experience of choosing as you. Like, do any of you have anything like recent?
Well, I mean, I have something of a piece here that I just got over the break was all the times in life where things were like too easy and you created like stuff where you were like, I can't believe that just happened. It didn't happen. You created it. That is what occurs when you choose as you.
Okay, cool.
I would really say that the difference, too, for me with energy around choosing for you, it's obviously the energy where we're not choosing against somebody else. We're choosing for us.
Right.
And as you, it's actually when you're willing to be you and choose. So you basically choose from being you. Like, it doesn't matter. Actually, in this case, it doesn't even matter if it's for or against someone or not. It's you're actually choosing what you, as the being you truly be now, would like to choose right now. And if somebody else thinks that's against them, I mean, that's their problem again. But you're actually willing to be you and make choices based on that.
And then you include you, actually, and with that, you include everybody else. That's like, that's what choosing as me, that's what choosing as me is. That's how I see it, you know, like it includes
right.
you. Because usually when you choose, people always think what everybody else needs from them, rather than, hey, what works actually for me, which includes you, and that includes everybody else, rather than, oh, I'm going to choose for me, you know, like
yeah.
some people see that as
choosing for you means necessarily choosing against some other people, like we have learned as teenagers and, you know, just many times keep on still doing, you know, doing teenager mode.
Well, and again, choosing as me with regards to my marriage was not choosing against my husband. It actually benefits both of us, and it moves both of us, even though it may not seem like that at first. Does that make sense?
It's exactly.
Like, yeah. And it's awesome. And one of the other things that I wonder if it doesn't actually reduce a lot of the trauma and drama when you begin to function as you and to choose as you.
Yeah, true. Because drama, it really loses significance. When you said that with your husband, I had that with a boyfriend that I've been, you know, we've been together for 10 years. That was many years ago. And like when you said, when we broke up, it created this drama in his world, but by not making it like real or me suffering for the trauma that he chose, it created more for him too.
Right.
And so it created more for him too, right? So that is the magic of choosing and including you, which includes everybody else.
And choosing as you, there's no answers, there's no judgments, there's no conclusions, and it's that space of curiosity and wonderment, and back to what Ricky was talking about, and then back to what we talked about with about little kids, about the toddlers and all that, of sort of going from thing to thing to thing. It's like, oh, right? Like that energy, and what if that's the energy of choosing as you?
Well, you said something we haven't touched on, and I think it's so important, and that is that you cannot choose from judgment. If you're doing trying to make the right choice or the best choice, you're not actually choosing. And a lot of people get bollocked up with that. I know that I have in the past. Well, what's the right thing to choose here, you know? Well, maybe it's not right to not go to an access class. That was early on. But occasionally I'd ask, is it expansive to go to this class? What's the energy of going to this class? And it would not be very light. And I was like, wow, you know. But if you're doing any kind of judgment at all, you cannot actually choose.
Right. And the judgment thing, it goes back to, well, this happened to me. I wonder if we could just spend it, like, this happened to me. What if nothing happens to you? What if you actually create it? And it's sort of like the good news and the bad news. If you create it, then maybe the bad news is you create it because you don't like it. But what if that's actually the good news, that you can destroy and uncreate it and create something different? And so then what questions do you ask, right? Like, what is this? What can I do with it?
Yep. Like,
can I change
that
it?
Internet. Yeah.
Right? How can I change it? And just because you're asking the questions doesn't mean that you can necessarily change it, whatever the it is, but it'll shift you into a different space where more doors open and then there are more possibilities and you can keep on functioning from that curiosity. Maybe what you had in mind wasn't it, in fact, at all, right? Maybe it was a distraction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you don't need to be frustrated when the internet doesn't work.
Have you had problems with your internet today, Susanna?
Me?
Susanna, do you have a story to tell us about the internet?
Hey, so I think there's a one, you know, we were talking about before how we sometimes create significance around things and we make big choices, small choices, and small choices, big choices that doesn't allow us to have the awareness of what the choice will actually create. And there's one other piece around that whole part that is very important, actually, because I think a lot of people misidentify and misapply that a lot. It's that choosing something, choice, it's not the same thing as doing it or actualize it or institute it.
There you go. Cool. Because what do you mean?
I mean that making the choice to go out naked in the snow, if you're willing to make that, give you the awareness. But going out in the snow naked, that's not the choice anymore. That's the actualizing part of it. And if you're, but the thing is that people stop themselves from choosing because they think if I choose it, I need to actualize it. No, you don't. The choice will give you the awareness, and then you make another choice to actualize it or not. But you can make the choice, and that will give you the awareness of the energy of what that will create. And that's how you can use choice to your advantage instead of using it against you.
So, Jonas, how do you choose if you don't do?
Again?
How do you choose if you don't do?
Exactly. It means exactly that, what you just said. Like, everywhere we have misidentified that it's not a choice if we don't actualize it, if we don't do it.
Right.
That's where we make the mistake of excluding the awareness we could have from choices. So basically, so if you now tap into the energy of that you now will, after this radio show, you will choose to go to the movies.
We talked about naked in the snow, Jonas.
Yeah, or you could go naked in the snow.
Back on naked.
The snow, to the movies. Yeah. You get an awareness instantaneously.
You're Swedish. You need to talk about naked.
I do, yeah. So here's the new example. So if you, after this show, choose to go out naked, what will that create? Does that feel light or heavy for you?
Right.
That's the choice.
There you go.
I'm trying to help clients get this restaurants, because you can always say, they say, I don't understand choice. I'm like, okay, what would you like to eat tonight? I don't know. You want Chinese? No! So if you know, people are pretty tuned to their food choices. So you can use food in restaurants often if you're trying to and learning that.
It's a great example of where you can play, Marilyn. Thank you.
And what if it is really playful? What if the choices can be playful and not so freaking significant, right?
Well, that's an easy way to know if you're really in choices. If it's not playful, there's some judgment in there somewhere, and you can ask some questions to bring yourself to the awareness of where you're using judgment to choose rather than the space of possibility to choose.
Excellent. Yes.
There you go.
Right. That judgment.
Right.
As Jonas likes to say.
So what about some clearings, you guys? There's something about mimicking. So what creation are you using to invoke and perpetrate the biomimetic and biomimetric mimicry of other people's choices and pathways and realities are you choosing? And everything that brings up comes to God's willing, you're just trying to create it.
Yeah.
Right, wrong, good, bad, all nine, pop, shorts, blues, and beyond. But there's something about the significance of that, what's vital. Somebody want to do a vitality clearing, a vital clearing?
Yeah, but basically I would just say straight up, like, just step right into the energy of like, what if it's just a choice?
Yeah.
And everything that doesn't allow you to acknowledge, realize, receive, and make that a reality for you, get the fuck over it and destroy and uncreate it. I don't want it. About
put up with
all my shirts, boys, and beyond.
So, me, Jonas, is clearing. Awesome. Awesome. And what am I making so vital about this choice?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And everything that brings up comes to God's willing to destroy and create it. Right, wrong, good, bad, all nine, pot, shorts, boys, and beyonds. Cool. So what do we have for listeners in terms of choice and it's almost like things to play with, like going out from here? Questions to ask?
Is it a snow?
Huh?
Is it a snow?
Into the snow.
Yeah, but what if we all share a couple of our favorite questions that we are using because we are walking around creating our lives and making choices all the time. And
okay,
I can
awesome.
Start. One of my favorites is absolutely, so if I was creating my life, what would I choose here?
Awesome. And everything that just brought up. Times of Godzillion, we just trying to create it.
Yeah,
right, wrong,
yeah.
Good, bad, all nine, pot, shorts, boys, and beyonds. And
one of my favorites,
go for
creating Jonas's life, what would I choose? Just kidding.
Exactly.
And
okay, with regards to running out in the snow, with or without clothes, what's going to create the most here, right?
Exactly.
Right?
What else? What would Jonas chose here? It's a great question.
Well, it does. Yeah.
No, but actually, I got inspired, Marilyn. Sorry for interrupting, but so you know how you have some people in your life that you adore in some areas. So when you are in their area about something and you don't know what to choose, actually ask that question and tap into that. You know,
which is
why not?
The question.
See what it creates.
Yeah,
so it creates.
Like, so what would this person choose? Here. Not because you need to choose that, just to get an awareness
of what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
So like if,
right.
If I, for example, since we have the kid whisperer and Maxwell on the line, so if I was working with a kid, for example, and I don't know what to do, don't know what to choose, I would probably just ask, like, I wonder what Anne would do. And it doesn't mean that I would do the same, but I would get an awareness of something.
Right. That's awesome. And I say that actually to a lot of to the parents and the kids when they leave my session, you know. Even though I'm not going to be with you, you've known me now for a while, so you can ask. What question would Anne ask, right? And so someone goes, what stupid question would she ask me? Yeah. So, all right. So thank you so much, everybody, for being on the show. It's been amazing, and I think our brains are sort of fried, so... But this whole thing of choice, have fun with it and play with it and fool around with it, and we'd love to hear from you. Please write us an email. You can contact us at Pam at, what is it, Voice America? I don't even know what it is. We'll write it on.
It's Pam at accessconsciousness.com.
.com. Okay, great. Cool. And there's also the Voice America show with Gary Douglas and Dane here that is on every Thursday at 2 p.m. Pacific time. And we will catch you next Tuesday, the 18th. So have a great week, and we'll catch you then. Thanks, everybody, for being on. This is awesome.
Thank you, Anne. Great show. Thank you, thank you.
Thank you for listening to Creme de la Creme today. You might like to listen to it more than once. To experience even more change, join us again next Tuesday at 12 noon Pacific time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. Be sure to check out creatingaconsciousworld.com and accessconsciousness.com to find out more about us and about Access. What would it take for you to choose to be the creme de la creme in your life and to choose it again and again? Will you?